Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Get in, loser! Mean Girls is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Join Katie Heron as she meets the plastics and Tina Fey's new twist on the modern classic. Get ready for more of the rumors, backstabbing, and jokes you loved from the original movie with some fetch surprises. Rated PG-13. Wear pink and head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you are having a wonderful week so far. So it's podcast time. And this week I sat down with the one and only Lee Kay. I've known Lee for a while now. Known her from techno. She's an amazing producer, amazing DJ. Played a few shows with me, and she is coming on tour with me on the New Generation tour to a few dates as well. So I thought I'd get her on and we'd just have a nice little talk, really. Loved this conversation. It was amazing. So without further ado, Lee Kay.
Lee Kay,
how's it going?
William Clark.
Mate, I didn't know what your last name was, what your surname was.
Krasinski. Did you look it up?
Krasinski.
Yeah, you got it.
It's fucking amazing.
Most people are like Krasinski or, yeah, but you got it. It's the Polish last name.
Oh, is it Polish?
Yeah.
Nice. Who in your family is Polish?
My dad's side is almost 100% Polish.
Oh, really?
And then my mom's side is mostly German. So, yeah, I've got the two in the blood.
So you're proper European?
Kind of. I mean, they've been here for quite some time, but as far as origins go, yeah.
Can you speak German or Polish?
You know, I wish my parents learned, because my grandpa on my mom's side spoke German, but he didn't like teach them growing up. And then same thing with my grandma on my dad's side. She would speak Polish in the household, but it like skipped a generation. They never learned. So we didn't get to learn. I wish though.
Did they grow up here?
They did. Okay. Yeah. Actually in Chicago.
Okay.
And then my parents moved out to Southern California, like late 80s, and then bought a house and had me and my sister, and we grew up here. But we spent like a lot of summers in the Midwest. So
interesting.
Yeah, love Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago's amazing. I've been debating about living there as well. I was looking at property there, and it looks
a little more expensive than Detroit.
Slightly.
it depends if you're in the suburbs or the city.
Yeah.
Suburbs is reasonable. I actually was looking at, like, right at the beginning of the pandemic, I was looking at some property in like suburbs of Chicago, and it's definitely reasonable there.
My view behind the suburbs though of like a city, I don't know about you, but it's like, do I really want to live in the suburbs of a city like Chicago?
Yeah, this is interesting, because I think like now that I'm older, I realize that people are kind of either like a city person or a suburbs person or rural. I'm definitely more like rural slash suburbs.
Okay.
Like I spent 5 years in LA and it was great at the time. And like, there's things I love about LA, but now I'm in like semi-rural San Diego and like, I've got like the neighbor's horses are in my backyard and like, there's like trails. And I think I've just realized I'm more of a like peace and quiet kind of person.
I agree with that. I'm more of a country boy than anything else. But if I'm wanting to live in the city, I want to live in the city, I think.
Totally. Like, get the full experience.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Chicago's an amazing city and there's so much to offer. But I think it would annoy me living like 30 minutes. Traffic in Chicago is actually really annoying.
And it's terrible.
People don't talk about it because it's actually appalling.
It's horrible. Yeah.
But the issue with living in the city in Chicago is that you live like, it's going to take you a good hour to get to the airport pretty much every time.
Yeah. Yep. For sure. Versus like Detroit, you guys, I mean, there's some traffic, but it's not even comparable. And how, like, you're in the city, right? Like, you're not, are you in the suburbs or the city?
I'm like 10 minutes from downtown. It's not far. Okay. 10, 15 minutes. Yeah. But I'm in Detroit itself.
So you would leave maybe, or would you keep your place there?
Well, I was actually looking at Austin as well. I was like genuinely like looking pretty. Austin was more so where I was looking.
But I love Austin.
Austin's an amazing city. Apart from the heat, I can't deal with that heat. Holy fuck. But for me, it's just like, property costs are just so high for like what you're getting, and it's not adding enough value in my life for me to comprehend spending that much money to get something that I really want to live in. Don't get me wrong, I like Detroit is like, you can't really compare Detroit to anywhere because it's so cheap to live here. And you can have a really nice place for practically nothing.
How are taxes in Michigan now? Because I know, like, I mean, Texas is pretty good with taxes.
See,
like, I don't know.
Income taxes in Texas are great because it's zero. But property taxes is, like, higher than anywhere in the country.
Higher than California?
I'm pretty sure they are, yeah.
Wow.
So you're paying, like, 2.5% of your property value in in Texas, or in Austin at least. If you go like outside of Austin to like some smaller like counties and cities, like, it's much cheaper. But then it's like, well, you're not living in the city, so it's like,
what? So why no LA for you? Like, is it just kind of because it's just,
I used to live there
okay,
like in 2015 I think I lived there. I just don't think, I don't know. I think I think LA is a bit fucked.
I think we probably agree on that point. Yeah, how long were you there for?
Only like 4 months, 4 or 5 months. Yeah.
Enough to get a lay of the land.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I like going to LA. I spend a lot of time there with, like, Ryan, my manager, he's there. I've got a lot of, like, some of my closest friends live there, and obviously he plays shows there, and I love playing shows there, and it's a great city for me. But I don't know, there's something about staying in a city with that many people. Like,
it feels, yeah.
There's no...
I feel like you're either built for that, like, you, like, thrive off that kind of energy, or it feels suffocating, and it started to feel suffocating to me.
Well, for me, for me, like, New York is my favorite city in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I would move to New York tomorrow. Like, hands down, I would live there again. I loved living there. It was an amazing experience. And every time I go, I'm like, this feels like home. But you know how it is, like, touring around. When you're touring so often, and I still live in the UK as well, so I'm not ever actually here, that I'm not actually at home in America that often. So it's like, why would I pay $4,500 a month on rent for something that I'm there like 2 weeks in the month? It just seems pointless. And then also pay the taxes in that city as well.
That's how I felt too. Like my lease was ending and I was like, I'm here maybe 50% of the time, if that. And, you know, I was kind of like, why am I, like, I'm not really sure this is serving me anymore. So, but it was great while I was there. And there's, I mean, you know, there's like amazing restaurants and I have some really great friends up there and love playing up there, but I think it's better as like a visitation type thing, like pop in and pop out. And the traffic, I mean, like everyone already knows this, but it's so mind-numbingly terrible.
Oh, it's awful.
Like, I think you probably spend just as much time in your car as you do like anywhere else. You know.
Yeah, I like to be productive as well. And when everything takes you an hour, I'm like, fuck this. I think I'd just be a hermit and just stay in my house all the time because it's just like not worth it. And you can't, there's not many areas. Like I usually stay in K-Town, which I really like because you can walk everywhere. But still, I don't know. You're in San Diego, which is probably one of the most beautiful places in America. So I'm kind of jealous.
I love it. And I think growing up, I didn't fully appreciate it. And then once I moved to LA and enjoyed that for a while and I came back, like as an adult, I was like, oh, wow, I feel really blessed that I was raised here. And like, yeah, it still can be expensive depending on where you live, especially like downtown, of course, but that's the same with any city. But yeah, like our weather, you definitely can't beat like our beaches. I think our beaches are better than a lot of places in California. And like when I lived in LA, I think I went to the beach once, honestly, because I lived on the east side.
Yeah.
And so to get to the west side, it's just like, forget it. It's such a mission. So yeah, but I like it here. And I think like, I don't know if I'll stay here forever or maybe I'll do like part-time, but for now it works and I really love it. So
yeah, I like San Diego a lot. I was literally on the way back from the gym this morning talking to a friend about he's thinking of moving there. And I'm like,
I feel like a lot of people are moving here right now.
It's because I think although it is expensive, it's way more affordable as in what you get for your money than LA. And I'd like, that's more so like what you get as a city and as like a kind of environment. It's cleaner. It's nicer. There's not as many homes. It's not as big of a homeless issue as there is in LA. And everything's a bit more compact.
I like the homeless thing is so sad and crazy, and I remember going up there I think like middle of last year for a gig, like my first gig back in LA since the pandemic, and just being like, wow, this has changed even in a year and a half. Like the amount of homelessness on the street and like it spreading to streets where it wasn't before. And just seeing that was, it's so shocking and so sad. And I don't know how we even begin to really like fix that, but it's, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. It's pretty mad. I was in San Francisco when this comes out, it would be 2 weekends ago. Holy fuck balls. That place is ridiculous. Yeah. Have you been?
It's been a few years since I've been up there, but I'm aware of the situation up there.
Oh, wow.
Sure.
It's special. Like, Ryan and I, we stayed in like near the Tenderloin, which was always notoriously quite bad anyway. It is like another country. It's literally like a third world country. Drug dealers on every corner. On a Friday night, drug dealers on every corner. Homeless people everywhere, people freebasing in their cars, like needles hanging. It's so sad. And you're just like, you've got rich people, you've got some of the wealthiest people living right there. And then you've got, because it feels a bit different to LA, because I was in LA the day after, and downtown LA, it doesn't feel as crazy. It doesn't feel nowhere near as bad. It feels like they've cleaned it up a little bit. But I think the difference is in LA, it's more encampments of people just like, just living in tents, where San Francisco was literally just like, I don't know what it was. It was wild.
Yeah. And like, speaking of like property tax and things like that, you think about how many people are paying into taxes up there that have so much money.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, where does all that money go? Totally. So like, I'm always looking at the people at the top, like running things and making these decisions, being like, I think there's just a massive lack of accountability in politics in general, but like seeing that in person, I think just kind of solidifies that. Cause I'm like, I mean, even LA, I'm like, there's so many wealthy people that live there and yeah. celebrity and successful businesses and everything else. Like, where do all these taxes go? Yeah. Like, I always think like, I would love for like that chain of events to be completely transparent, like to be able to see like where all of our money as citizens actually goes.
Could you imagine?
It'll never happen. It'll never happen. But like, that's the thing. Like we pay, like we literally pay these people to be public servants, but it's not like they don't act like public servants. No. You know what I mean?
It's very interesting system, which mm-hmm. it has actually worked for many years. But now I think it worked for a short amount of time and then it just got worse and worse and worse. But instead of fixing the problem, it just got a Band-Aid put over it. And it was never actually fixed. The issue wasn't ever fixed. And then it just piled up and now it's just a shit show. How was your meditation?
It was good. Thank you. I needed to I'm trying to do it every morning. I really just feel like it is so grounding and kind of like gives me clarity to start my day. And I'm on the tail end of a self-imposed 70-day challenge where it's daily meditation, daily movement, and no alcohol. So I think I have like a week left and it's been really nice. And I actually think like the meditation has made the most difference. Yeah. I'm not a big drinker anyway, but I'm like, I don't think I've ever gone that long, like in my adult life without drinking. Like, I know I don't need it. So it's been a nice little reset.
What was the reasoning behind starting it?
I saw someone else do something similar and I was like, that's interesting. I've never done something quite like that. And I've always meditated and like, I'm big on like getting outside, moving my body, exercising, but to actually have like a period of time where you're making sure that you're like hitting all those things every day. I kind of just wanted to see like how good I could feel.
Yeah.
I'm like big on optimization and just like feeling like your best self. So I was like, let's do this. It kind of coincided with the new year.
Yeah.
I don't know. It went by really fast, which is surprising, but it's been good.
Do you think it helps in like other parts of your life? Or do you just think generally overall it feels better? But have you like noticed a difference in like other parts of your life where you're like, yeah, this is good?
Everything, really? Honestly, I feel like it affects everything. Like it helps with clarity. I think like not hopping on my phone first thing and like setting aside those 20 minutes to meditate. It really goes with you everywhere throughout your day. And I think like just it also makes you more present in your relationships and make better decisions. And I don't know, I think just be like more tapped into like yourself.
I've always wanted to try the whole meditation thing but just haven't. Realistically,
I think it can be like really intimidating because it's kind of this buzzword and it feels like there's like so much pressure with it. Yeah. But what I've found is like doing guided meditations is really great, or at least a great place to start. Cause then you're not just trying to sit there and like clear your head. There's something kind of for your brain to like follow along with. And I do them at night too, to go to sleep, and they knock me out, which I remember hearing about that. Like, oh, there's these like meditations of people like telling stories and they're supposed to put you to sleep because it kind of lets your brain focus on something without thinking about everything the next day or whatever. And then I tried it and they actually worked and I was blown away. So I've been doing them for like 2 years now.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, when I go to bed, I put Netflix on because I know this sounds awful, but
many people fall asleep to TV though. It's so funny.
I don't fall asleep to it unless I'm really fucking tired. Like last night, yesterday, I didn't sleep at all the night before because I had a show and then had to fly. So just didn't sleep at all. And last night I like fell asleep to Netflix just like because I forgot. But usually I like watch something that I know will just take my mind off of everything else. I don't know about you, but my mind races so much. It's just like nonstop all the time. And it's like, rather than like being in the present, it's very much like, what's next? What do I have to do next? Like, and like, even on phone calls, I can be like, I can just be not present because of my mind is just going elsewhere. And when I go to bed, I'm like, it's the worst time for me to like, to be non-present, because I'm literally like thinking, the minute I get in bed, I'm like, oh shit, what have I got to do tomorrow? Oh, I should be doing this. I should be doing that, blah, blah, blah. So Netflix, just like, or whatever show, it just helps me just like forget about everything.
Mm-hmm. Being present is so hard. And I think it's like the modern like struggle for humanity is like being present. And what I kind of always try to tell myself, because I, of course, also struggle with that. And it's like both ruminating on the past, like what I could have done differently, things that happened, whatever. And then, yeah, like stressing about the future. And what I've realized is like, we make our best decisions like from right here, like being in the present moment. And it's hard to remember that. But I think like the more you kind of tell yourself that and like bring yourself back into that space, it becomes a little bit easier. But I think everyone struggles with that, honestly. It's so hard. And there's so many distractions, you know, like if you don't set up those systems and like set up your environment to where like you can be more present, then you're going to constantly be pulled in 100 different directions.
Yeah. I'd always love to like, there's all these people that are just, not all these people, but there's a lot of people that just like are so insular, I guess, is if that's the right word, but so like just present and just take each day as it goes, and they probably don't get much shit done. But they're so at peace with themselves in the day. It does sound pretty
amazing. I'd like to think there's like a good balance there though. Like I think you can be productive and present and go with the flow, but I think that's like a sweet spot that's unique to each individual, and like you kind of have to figure out like where that is for you. Because like being so future oriented all the time, like it starts to feel like a rat race.
Oh, 100%. You know?
And like, I think we're not here to like feel like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's easier said than done.
Do you get that with music?
Feeling like a rat race?
Yeah.
All the time. It's something that like I was actually feeling really strongly right before the pandemic. Mm. So in a way, I almost feel like the pandemic was a blessing in disguise for me. Because it kind of gave me this window of opportunity to like step back and like reassess my relationship with music and zero in on like what exactly I want to do. Because I think, and I know you can relate, there's so much that goes on outside of just like having fun and making music and like playing shows. Like there's so much behind the scenes and like the business side of it. And the social media and like the forward facing side of it can feel like such a rat race. And I started to kind of resent DJing and music because of that, like a few years ago. And it was a shitty feeling, you know, like you don't want to feel like that about something that you actually really love. So I think in a way, the last few years has been a nice opportunity for me to kind of reframe my relationship with music.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, for me, like, I'm 100% what's next, that type of person. Like, say, for instance, we did the LA show the other day, and we sold out before it opened, which was great. And, like, at dinner, we were having dinner with Carlos that runs Factory 93, and we were like, okay, so what's next? And it's like, rather than going, let's go and have the fucking best night of our lives and enjoy it, it's like, what should we do next? And like,
do you feel, go ahead.
No, go for it.
Do you feel like that takes away from like the joy of it for you though? Or do you think it is like part of the joy of it?
I think, to be fair, I like the rat race, which is a bit weird.
That's good then.
Yeah. I like the like, I think there's a difference between the what's next and the pressure that I put on myself. So like there's certain situations where like Ryan and I, like, say for instance, my last single, Searching, on paper it's done pretty well, but it's not done as well at this moment in time for what we want it to be doing. And I know there would be a lot of people that would be like, it's doing really well, and be like, I wish my records did that. But we kind of put so much pressure on this record that we actually had to, like, we had a conversation with ourselves about it, and we're like, guy, we're like, we need to fucking chill out, because life is good, if you know what I mean. Mm. Just because it's not done what we wanted it to do, and not because, like, it didn't do this many streams on day one, or it didn't do this high on Beatport, or it didn't get this much radio play. Like, it's a fuck, like, and this was the conversation we had. I was like, it's a fucking good record, or I believe it's a fucking good record, and I'm really proud of this record. So realistically, whatever it does, it doesn't matter. And the fact that it's not created an overnight success, then that's fine, and that's mm-hmm. maybe not the journey that the track's chosen for us, because we put so much pressure on it. I always put a lot of pressure on releasing records, just generally in myself, but that last record was like, it was insane, because I think it was because it was such a big lead up. We had like 4 months lead up time. And, like, we'd literally done everything. And it was just, like, so much pressure. And it got to the point where I was like, wow, this isn't actually enjoyable, releasing music. And releasing music, making music, releasing music, and DJing are the three reasons why I do what we do. And when it comes to a point when you're not enjoying it, it's tough. It's really tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's, like, the hard part about pursuing a career in any, like, creative field, yeah. is finding that balance between, like, still enjoying the creative process and, like, genuinely liking and believing in what you're creating, yeah. but then, like, you're also seeking that, like, external validation, because yeah. in a lot of ways your career depends on it, yeah. you know, and it can be easy to kind of, like, get pulled to one side or the other, but they're both, you know, a part of the equation.
I think also the tough thing that I've had to deal with, which I'm not too sure if you have, but it's the comparison of other people or your peers. Do you ever struggle with that?
Of course.
Yeah.
I think anyone who says that they don't is probably lying.
Yeah, 100%.
I think, like, most people do. And I think, like, this is something that I think a lot about too. Like, we're constantly inundated with what everybody else is doing because of the internet, yeah. and because of social media. So I think about this a lot too, in relation to the guys and girls that have been around for, like, decades, that when they were starting their music careers, there wasn't the internet, or there wasn't, you know, Instagram. And I wonder if they still would have, like, gone on their path if they had been exposed to all of that. Cause I think it can be so distracting. And I think it also, like, begs the question, like, what is really us and what is really, like, external influence, yeah. you know, because it's almost, like, inevitable that you're going to absorb some of that, even if it's subconscious, mm-hmm. you know? So I think being able to put your blinders on and really go inward, it's so hard, but I think it's so important to feel genuinely and authentically connected to what you're doing.
Yeah.
But it's hard.
Yeah. It's tough, isn't it? Cause the whole business, that is the business side of it, right? Is by seeing what everyone else is doing, because they're our friends. There's a lot of people that we follow that are our friends that are doing the same thing as us. And obviously, I don't know, I'm pretty sure you're the same as me, but I want all my friends to do well, and I want all my friends to be successful. But I also want to be successful myself. And it's that kind of, like, battle where I wouldn't say it's jealousy now. I used to get very jealous of people when I was, like, younger. But now it's more so like, how the fuck do we get to that level?
Yeah. And I think that's when it comes down to, like, is something inspiring, or is it, like, bringing up feelings of envy or jealousy or regret or whatever? And I think if you can reframe things to where, like, it is a point of inspiration versus, like, bringing out, like, negative feelings, I think that's good. But also, like, honestly, sometimes you just have to like mute things, and you have to like, yeah, of course we want to be supportive of friends, but like, let's be real. Like, not everyone we follow is a genuine, isn't necessarily someone we have like genuine, like close relationships with. So I don't necessarily think like we need to be super tuned into what everyone else is doing. And I think that can be very distracting.
Yeah. I think that's a really important issue, or not issue, statement, because I don't know. I want to get your thoughts and feelings on this. I had an idea of just unfollowing everyone on social media, and I spoke through it with a couple of mates, and one of them was like, don't fucking do that. You look like a dickhead. And then the other person was like, do it. And then I don't know. I don't know how it will, if it would actually impact my career or not.
Well, I guess what's your intention? You know, is it to kind of like focus and, you know, not spend so much time scrolling or being inundated with other people's content? Because in my opinion, like, I don't think you need to justify that to anyone. And at the end of the day, it's your life and your career. And if doing that, like, you're not doing that as a fuck you, you're doing that as like, I need to focus and like not, you know, be on this platform and be constantly seeing everyone else's images 24/7.
Yeah, I think that's the thing for me, is that like, I don't actually worry about like seeing other people's image, like pictures and videos. It doesn't actually ever affect me, but I'm just like, why am I fucking just scrolling? Like, I even have like a 30-minute timer on my Instagram every day, and I 100% guarantee go over that. Like,
it's such a waste of time. Yeah. And it is so addictive, which is what I think makes it so frustrating. Cause it's like, how as grown adults can we still be so sucked into this thing? Like, it's crazy. And it makes me think about like, cause I think we're about the same age, being in like middle school and getting my first phone, and it was like a brick phone, like just like a crappy like T9 brick phone. And I'm like, little did we know that, you know, fast forward a couple decades, we would be just completely sucked into these things, you know? But yeah, the screen time thing is crazy. And I think too, like, how much of our own potential are we taking away by letting these things, cause like 30 minutes, like that's probably a nice, healthy, you know, daily time period to do that. But like anything beyond that, like, it's nothing productive.
No,
you know,
it's really not. And there's like, I can just be sat there, and then all of a sudden I've got, it's like, it's almost just that kind of automatic thing to just grab your phone rather than like just sit and enjoy the moment. It goes back to being in the moment, because realistically, when you're looking at your phone, or when I'm looking at my phone, I'm not actually in the moment. I'm like kind of somewhere else.
Exactly. Yeah, I think too, going forward, like, the hottest and rarest commodity is going to be focus.
Yeah.
I look at the generations coming in and our generation, I'm like, there's so many distractions, and anyone that can turn off those distractions and focus on whatever their goals might be are going to win.
Yeah.
You know, because so many people are not, and they're just sucked in, you know, like, and it's not many productive things happen in that space.
No, I totally agree with you. And I think there's that also, that it, the way media is given to us now, it's very short, and it's very like, you don't actually have to work for it, it's just there. That's why I love what the kind of the movie theaters are doing at the moment. Like, all these films are becoming a lot longer. Like, I've just seen the new Batman film is coming out soon, and it's like nearly 3 hours long.
Wow.
And there's something that I love about that, because although you're being engrossed and you're being entertained for 3 hours, you're investing wholly your whole time and stuff. If you're in the cinema, I hope you don't check your phone. I hope you don't do all of the, you don't talk to people and things like that. And you're literally just focusing on one thing. We don't do that much nowadays.
No, and the irony is, it feels so good to do that.
It feels amazing.
Like, very rarely do you regret doing things like that. Same thing with being present with, like, being with friends or family or at a dinner, like not having phones out, like there's a palpable difference, you know? And I think that's becoming more and more rare, but when you do it, like it feels good. Like it feels natural.
Obviously. Yeah. It is nice that like my parents, even growing up, we always had a rule, like no phones at the dinner table. Just because it's so nice to just be, not have any distractions.
Yeah, there was a study that came out a while back that said even just having your phone on the table is distracting to people. Like just seeing it out of your peripheral vision is a distraction, you know, and affects how we act. It's kind of astounding.
Have you used, do you have an iPhone, don't you?
I do.
Do you use the do not disturb button now?
So I put on airplane mode at night.
Okay.
And because I hate, like, I like picking up your phone the next day when you finally do, seeing that like barrage of messages just like makes me flip out. So I keep it on airplane mode for a while. And then I also use an app called Freedom. Okay. And it comes out to be super, super cheap per day, like pennies per day if you buy like the annual subscription, but it links to both your MacBook and like your phone.
Yeah.
And you can set it to however long you want, and you can set like which apps or which websites you want to block, which I find that super helpful.
Freedom. I'm going to check that out. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's been good. Cause like with willpower, it's really easy to tell yourself to do something or to not check something, but let's be real, like we're animals and we like instant gratification. Totally. So it's easier said than done. Yeah.
Totally. Do you, obviously it's like the beginning of the year. Are you the type of person to like set goals for each year?
I think when I was younger, I would kind of try to do the resolutions thing. Now, and I learned this actually from Tim Ferriss. He does a review of the last year and makes note of everything that he really enjoyed and wants to do more of, and then everything that was kind of a bummer or he wants to do less of. So I actually did that for last year. And it's kind of nice too, because I think like if you don't schedule things, like they're probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so things like setting aside time to like do any kind of like travel or like spending time with certain people or any like activities that you want to do, just getting those on the calendar is kind of nice. So I'm trying to do more of that. Like restaurants that you want to eat at, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? Set resolutions?
I don't set resolutions. I don't agree with resolutions. Because my view is like, just change it now. If you've got an issue with something, like change it now and just stop doing it, or stop. Like if you're thinking about stopping doing it, well, you realize that it's an issue, so just stop it now and it will kind of change things up.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, I'm pretty, I can stop things. Like, I don't know, if like soda, this is the most stupid thing, but like 2 years ago, maybe nearly, 2.5 years ago, I just do this stupid, I do these stupid things just to test myself. And it's not necessarily stupid, but like I gave up chocolate for 6 months just because, like, no reason, but because I was like, let's just do it. Fuck it. And then I'm the same with soda. I haven't drank soda for like 2.5 years. And so I can stop things like that if I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Were you a big like soda drinker before?
Once occasionally. A day. Yeah, once a day maybe. But it was like getting in the way of my training, and it was just like, what? It's just wasted calories for me. But I'm like at the point where I'm kind of craving it, so I'm probably going to go back to it for a bit and then stop it again.
I like very rarely drink soda, maybe never, like since I was a teenager, but I went to see Tool the other night and at the Honda Center, and they had RC Cola, and I was like, oh, like I gotta.
What's RC Cola?
It's like kind of like old school Pepsi. Like, okay. I want to say, I'm probably going to get this wrong. I think it's like came out in the 90s okay. or something like that. It's kind of like a throwback type cola yeah. Pepsi thing. But anyway, that was like the first soda that I had in years. And it was.
Was it amazing?
Good. Yeah. I like the bubbles. It was, yeah. It was good for a soda. You know, I don't like super sweet stuff like that, but yeah. Special occasion.
Kind of craving a root beer right now, if I'm honest.
There you go.
Such a weirdo. But yeah, no, like for me, I set goals for that year. Mostly career goals. And pretty much they're achievable and we achieve them.
What are you willing to share your goals for this year? Maybe broadly speaking.
Yeah, broadly, there's like a financial goal. There's different territories where I want to play in. There's types of music that I want to release.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
That's pretty much it broadly. And then there's like a few life goals as well that I kind of set that are more like long-term things, like where I want to be living in like 5 years time and kind of like personal things that I want to do at some point, which funny enough, they're the ones that never actually happen. The personal
goal. What do you mean? Why? Because you're so focused on
yeah, I think so.
Career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like for the last like 3 years, I've been like, I really want to go skiing. And obviously COVID's fucked us, but like I could have gone skiing this year and I just haven't. Right.
You still can, depending where you go.
I still can.
See, this is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. And of course it's hard when you're traveling, but if you don't get it on the books, like there's a very good chance it won't happen. And like, I think life goes by really quickly, you know? So yeah. Scheduling things that you want to do or that you enjoy, I do think is like so important.
I think, I don't know about you, but I think it's the acceptance that life's going to be okay if you don't do something. Like if I don't do a podcast like this week or for the next month, it's like people are going to survive. Like it's mm-hmm. not, or like if I don't go in the studio, I can still write music. It's okay. Like that's the thing that I struggle with the most is that like, I feel bad if I don't do something.
Where do you think that comes from? Like, where do you get these? Like, I feel like you're very, and I'm a bit similar in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. like kind of like perfectionist and you have like really high expectations yeah. of yourself.
I don't know. I think probably childhood, I guess. Like, my parents, like I've seen my parents work their fucking ass off to get to where they are today from like very young to like having nothing and then growing up and for them to kind of have an amazing lifestyle. And none of that was like that was just purely through hard work and grit, really. And I think that's, for me, the where it comes from. But I think, I don't know, I was always like very competitive as a kid. Like, I was, sport was like one of my biggest things. And like, I wouldn't just do things in half measures. It would be like, everything I try and do, it's like, I have to do this to the best of my ability. And if it's below par, I'm going to be pissed. Or people won't see it because I'm just not going to do it. Which I think is actually probably not the best way to be. Because I think you've got to fail at things and you've got to learn from things. Yeah, it's weird. What about you?
Well, and to that point too, though, like, I think that's probably why you are successful in a lot of ways, is because you are like that. And I think in order to like achieve a certain level of career success or whatever, you kind of have to be singularly focused and have those kinds of high expectations for yourself. But that also has like a, you know, point of diminishing return, right? Totally. Where it ends up going against you, so to speak. I think I'm trying to like find where that balance is. My problem is I get into the perfectionist procrastination loop where like you have such high expectations of yourself and then you either like don't start or you don't finish.
That's so debilitating.
It's so bad. I didn't even know that that was a thing until like a few years ago. And I was like, that describes me to a T. So it's something that I'm working on, and I've realized that I'd rather like launch fast and adjust and learn along the way and get that experience versus just, you know, either being scared or in that place of fear and not starting or not finishing, you know?
Yeah.
And we're our own worst critics.
Oh, 100%. How is that affected you in music or in your career?
Where do I begin? I think with like production, like I think there's certain people who have like, they can go in the studio and write an EP in like 2 weeks and be done with it. Like, I feel like you're probably pretty quick. Like, I get that vibe from you. I wish I was like that, but I'm not. Like, if I don't finish a track in like a few sittings, then it just sits and then I kind of like move on to the next thing. So I think like, as far as like number of releases, I think that it's affected me in that way. Just kind of being in that perfectionist mindset. And the irony is like, the more you make music, the better you get, you know, like you kind of have to like go through that process and just push on it and whatever, but I'm learning and I'm getting better about it too. What else? I don't know. There's a few things, but yeah, working on it.
Yeah. That whole releasing music is or like making music. And I think when there comes a point where you don't make music for a while and then you're like going back in, you're like questioning yourself. That's the thing I struggle with. This is the longest time I've said this so many times on this podcast, because the podcast has been going for like nearly 2 years. And during during COVID, I wrote so much music, like to the point where I think it, like kind of burnt me out of writing music. And then I really haven't written that much music since, and it really does my head in. But it's also like I make excuses not to write music. Like, I make other things that I have to do, or I just see myself faffing about my house, like procrastinating fucking music making, when I actually love making music. But I build this thing in my head where I'm like, where it makes making music a chore, which is weird because I love making music. And that feeling of, there's no better feeling of making a record and love and finishing it. And it's amazing. Like, I literally cried the other day in the studio because I like was listening to record and I was like, I love this record so much. It makes me happy that I want to cry.
What's that feeling?
But for some reason, it's only in the last year I've just been like, I guess it's just fucking lazy in like,
I mean,
making it.
Yeah. You're also not a robot, you know, like I think that you're naturally going to have certain periods where you feel super like plugged into yeah. that process. And then like you might have some periods where you're not. And I think that it's good to kind of normalize that too. You know, you're not a machine.
Yeah.
That being said, I think that's kind of the one of the challenges of doing something creative professionally yeah. is there is kind of always that pressure of like,
what's next?
I should be working on this.
Yeah.
I should be finishing this. Like, you know, this is, I need to get out X EPs a year. I need to write, you know, an album or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And really like, yeah, of course there's some truth to that, but some of it's a little arbitrary, you know? And I think it also goes back to like, it shouldn't really be about like number of releases, but like quality of releases and like the purpose behind each one,
yeah,
you know, because there's people that release, I mean, God, there's some people that I get their music and they make great music, but they're making like, they're releasing tracks like every week or yeah. something. And I'm like, oh, at that point, like you're just you're like a factory.
Literally.
And how much soul is like really behind these things.
Yeah. And I think there's times when that's okay. I think it's okay to do that sometimes. But I think there comes a point when that time actually has to end and you have to like really put thought behind what you're putting out. And just like, yeah, it's tough, isn't it? Because I think that's the issue with the music business is the business side of it. 'Cause it actually stops a lot of creativity. You hear that and you get that all the time with like bands, right? I've just listened to the Dave Grohl book, which is really fucking amazing. But like this, it was something that he said was like, you have your first album that is made by a bunch of people in a room that have zero money, have zero expectation apart from they want to take over the world with their band. They don't know what goes in on that. They don't know how much work that takes or what you need to get to that level, but that's their only ambition. The only expectation is to make the best music to take over the world, which is like kind of like a dream I feel like every musician has at some point in their life, to be the best in the world at what they do. And they make this amazing album. And then after that album's made and after the success has happened, they try and recreate that. And you can't. You can't recreate that because you're in a very different situation. You're in multi-million pound or dollar studios. You've got A&Rs looking over you. You've got, like, it just changes. And I think that's the beauty. And the worst part of this industry is that it gets to a point where what you're actually known for is being taken away because of finances.
I think like one, I love reading music autobiographies for that reason, like getting insight into people's like full timeline.
Yeah.
I think especially if you're also like a musician or a creative, like it's really nice to like see the full history and get the behind the scenes story and the challenging times and everything like that. I just finished reading Jewel's autobiography and it was amazing, but she also dives into that, like the making of each album, and she would kind of like go between genres, like do like kind of a pop album and then go to country and like trying to be received well by each market, you know, and like stuff like that. But to your point, I think like the more that I do this, the more I think being happy making music and like pursuing this comes down to staying a little naive in that sense, like almost like you're writing your first album every single time.
Yeah.
You know, where like you're not putting all of these expectations on yourself of like, oh, I need it to do this, or I need to like reach this market or release on this label or something like that, but like really kind of going back to that place of where you first started and like actually enjoying what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, instead of it being a means to an end or something like that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. It's that's the important place, right? And I think that's where it's the most fun, because I think when you start making stuff for the sake of it or just to please the heads of everyone above you or labels or things like that, it's just not enjoyable. I think that's maybe one of the issues nowadays, more so than what it used to be, is that everyone needs a platform now. And to get on a platform, you need to sign to a label, which means that you need to make your sound that label sound, because there's not many labels that are actually releasing music that is all over the shop and kind of just releasing good music. You have to make your sound like what they put out. And I think that's what really, I was really excited after COVID. I thought there'd be a shit ton of amazing music to be released, and it was completely the opposite. It was a shit ton of carbon copies.
Really?
Yeah. Shit ton of carbon copies of people just going, I need to be successful in this industry. So what do I need to be to be successful? What do I need to make to be successful? And it's like just a bunch of carbon copies.
Is this a poke at it, like a certain genre?
No, not at all. It's not like, I think it's the same in pretty much everything. I was talking to my roommate last night. He goes under the artist Oon, which you might know him actually as techno. He's like really hard techno. And he was saying the same. He was like, he plays live all the time, so everything everything he plays is his own music. But he was asked to do a mix for somebody, and when he does mixes, he was like, he goes and finds music and does like a DJ mix. He's like, I've just like struggled to find music that's like really wow. And I'm not saying that it's not out there, but what I'm saying is that it's extremely hard to find over the mass amount of formulaic dance music.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like that's kind of where being like a selector kind of comes in, is like having the places that you do look for music and kind of having the artists and labels that you do follow on Beatport or SoundCloud or wherever it might be like really refined to your taste. But that can be hard to do. Like that's a process in and of itself. And it's kind of like, will always be evolving as well. But yeah, that's, I think it's, you know, like, it's kind of hard too, especially when certain sounds get really trendy. Like obviously techno's having a moment right now.
Yeah.
And then over the last, you know, 1 to 2 years now, everything is getting faster and faster, which like I just personally, like I enjoy that music. Like sometimes I'll play fast, like depending on the gig, but it almost becomes like, I start to feel like these things kind of become like a caricature of themselves.
Totally.
Where now like labels and artists that I was following because they were making like really groovy, kind of fun, interesting, you know, 120 BPM-ish techno. Now like everybody's releasing 135, 140, yeah. 145. And I'm like, okay, I guess they need to kind of like frame and like find some, you know, it's just like a continuous process, which is fine. But I think, you know, you also wonder like how much of that is like genuine and then how much of it is kind of just like this bubble that's going to pop at some point.
Yeah. I went to, I'm not going to say the name, but I went to a pretty big techno party, a few months ago.
Was it in LA? Okay.
No, it wasn't in LA. And I was just amazed on how every artist sounded the same. And I'm like, and these was like literally some of the biggest artists in the world. And I'm like, why do you all sound the same? Like there should be no reason. Like we're all individual artists. It's like you go to a rock concert, no one sounds the same. They're all singing their own individual songs. They're all doing their own individual thing. And don't get me wrong, house, techno, what electronic music, there's obviously a monotonous kind of vibe about it, which it's supposed to be,
but it's palpable. Like we all hear what's going on
exactly. Yeah. And you're just like, why? Like you're in front of an audience that realistically are there for you to do you. So this is gives you every opportunity to do what you want to do, what the fuck you want to do. Like, and it might not always work, but at least like push it, at least try. And that's the thing that I don't struggle with, because I make sure that I do that. I make sure that I don't play what anyone else is playing, which it kind of adds a, it's definitely a benefit. But I'm just like, why doesn't everyone else do that?
Oh, I know. This is like such a complex and hot topic too. And I feel like it can be a bit controversial. So I understand like some of that kind of naturally getting worked in to people's sounds. And like, maybe a lot of them really genuinely do like playing fast and making fast and hard music, whatever. Now it's like gotten into like the trance territory, whatever. And that's fine. But like, I think it makes me respect, and not that I don't respect any of those people, but like Recondite, for example, I saw him, like, so I've always good. Liked his music. And then I saw him play live at last summer in San Diego at Day Moves, and was like in the center of the crowd, like for his whole set, just like so good. And he plays like he was in one of the headlining slots, and he was kind of surrounded by people that were playing like faster on either side of him. And he just went up and did his thing. And he does like, I don't know, he like maybe 120 at times, you know, like it's nice and slow, but it's moody. And like his production is just so quality. And I'm like, this is, he has stayed true to his sound from the beginning. And I love that. And I respect that so much, because I think it probably is really hard when your sound's not necessarily the hottest trend of the moment to really kind of stick to your guns and keep doing and making what you want to do.
I think it goes back to that business side of it, doesn't it? It's very hard to get booked. It's very hard to do this if you don't fit with certain lineups. But I think that comes down to promoters actually like growing a pair of balls and just being like, fucking, let's just book them.
Agreed. And I think that it's kind of like this triangle between fans and what fans want and what they're willing to pay for. And then it's promoters and bookers, right? They're part of it. And then it's also kind of like agents and managers a little bit on like who they're willing to like
push
and give opportunities to, or link up opportunities. I think like being genuine though, like being a genuine artist also means like, maybe your sound's not going to be hot.
Yeah.
You're like all the time.
100%.
And like, maybe you're going to have some slow years. And like, if you're okay with that and like things generally come back around anyway, like that's, it's a strong position to take, but I think that's like true artistry, you know?
I totally agree with that. That's what we do it for, right? It's just, we don't become artists to be successful financially. We, like, how many years do we do it and still do it and earn practically nothing compared to what you could if you worked in a corporation or whatever? Like, we've all got friends that are like, one of my best friends is a lawyer and in like one of the biggest law firms in the world in London and earns an absolute fortune, but he can't stand his life. And it's like, I didn't start doing music, and I'm sure you didn't start doing music to become rich. It's just, that's kind of like a pipe dream, right? At the end of it is that like, maybe you might get rich one day, but realistically, as long as we can enjoy what we're doing, that's all that matters. And I think that's what it feels like, it's going a little bit further away from that, where it's more about how many tickets you can sell, how much money you can make, how much money the promoters can make and things like that. And this is why I love the guys at Crossed, if I'm honest, like in San Diego, because they've got such a great relationship with their fan base, or with the people that actually go, that really believe in the festival. It's never about the lineup. From an outsider, from what I view is like, the lineup is secondary compared to the kind of fan base that go, but because the fan base trusts them so much as promoters, it really means that the lineup can be as good as possible and one of the best lineups in America, because it's like they're pushing music. Movement does the same. It's not about the headliners, it's about really pushing great fucking music. And don't get me wrong, you're always going to get a headliner, but that's not really pushing the sales. It's the sales are pushed beforehand, which I think is really important.
Yeah. And I mean like booking lineups, like what a complex process too. And I think like it is all about balance too. Like you want to have some of the kind of like crowd pleasers, yeah, and like the kind of, you know, top line names that are going to maybe carry some of it, but then like working in the new up and coming talent and like working in different textures and sounds and stuff like that. I think that's definitely what makes a good festival, and taking chances on, you know, new names and things like that. Mm. But yeah, is Movement happening this year? Did they?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Have you been?
I have. I went, oh God. Oh, let's see. 2019 and 2018 I went and played some after parties, and then was supposed to do an after party with Panpot on in 2020, and that got
tanked. Fucking COVID.
Sad. Yeah, I did a stream for them though. I love those guys, the Paxahau guys. Nice. They're the best.
Yeah, they're amazing. Yeah. They get it. They totally get it. Which is few and far behind, but between people getting it nowadays.
And I feel like they like genuinely want to support artists, which is always a good feeling.
You know, when the promoter turns up to your show, that's you know they're in it for the right thing. There's something for me anyway, when promoters don't turn up to the show, really,
I know, right?
Really gets
it's a completely different experience. Yeah, when people are very hands-on with their parties, it just makes it feel so much more like welcoming and authentic.
Yeah, it's something very weird to me. It's like this is when it turns into a business.
Get like picked up by the driver at the airport, barely speak, get dropped at your hotel, get picked up again, get dropped off at the venue, and they're like, okay, go ahead, go play.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. It's really weird. And like, I don't know, but maybe that's because we're in it for different things, right? Like we're in it because we love doing what we're doing, and sometimes some promoters are just in it just to make money. Which I get. It's a business at the end of the day. We can't argue with that. Talking of shows, you're coming on tour with me. Woohoo!
Yes, I know. We had to reschedule some dates, but I'm super excited. Yeah.
When they're like, when are they now?
Toronto is supposed to happen on February 19th.
Do you think that's
supposedly
gonna
happen? Toronto's like shut down right now, I haven't even bought my flight yet because I'm like,
I'm just gonna
wait for now. And then Columbus, and I always forget. Oh, Grand Rapids. Those are March, April.
Have you seen that Columbus club?
Is it the other world, right?
Yeah.
I'm so excited. No, I've seen pictures, and then some people were messaging me being like, have you seen this place?
I know.
I looked it up. It's insane.
It's insane. It's
like I want to go hang out there.
Yeah, we should. We should get in early and go.
Let's do it.
Because I've not been there, but it looks insane. And it's kind of reminds me of Meow Wolf. Have you been to a Meow Wolf?
I have not been, but I'm familiar.
You have to.
And I wish more, like, we need more places like that. It looks like the perfect place to have a party, basically.
Yeah, it's just like an immersive art gallery. That
did you guys like seek out that venue, or was that just what the promoter books?
I had never heard of it. Never heard of it in my life. And then my agents were like, Otherworld wants to do a party with you. And we're like, what's Otherworld? And then I looked it up and was like, sick, let's do it. Because let's be honest, Columbus isn't known for house music, right? But yeah, I'm all for shit like that. It's like Meow Wolf in Santa Fe. Like who would have thought you could throw a party in Santa Fe and like 500 people turn up?
Yeah,
it's amazing.
But Santa Fe is also like a very like artsy, creative community, but agree about the like electronic music part of it. And I'm like, oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's weird, but yeah, I think that would be cool. We need some more venues in America that are like just generally better venues.
I'm surprised LA doesn't have something like that, you know, or more of the major cities. But I almost feel like when cities are smaller, it almost encourages more innovation because there's not so much competition.
Yeah, totally. You know? Detroit needs a good club.
I played at Leland City Club.
Oh my God. I'm surprised you're alive.
me too. They told me like when they picked me up from the airport, they're like, yeah, so like a few weeks ago it was raining and like part of the roof like fell in over the old DJ booth. And I was like, sweet. So I'm going to die tonight then or what? Like, I'm not really sure what you're saying.
It's
cool though. I want to go back when there's a goth night because that's like so my people.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting venue. There's definitely character to it. But
there's character.
Just fix the fucking roof.
You know, I don't know like what the safety regulations are for that block.
We're in Detroit. There's no safety regulations.
I know. I'm like, I mean, I guess it adds like an element of, you know, surprise. If you go, it's just always a dice roll. But
yeah, I'm not willing to take that at all. No, it's wild. What have you got coming up on the label? What are your plans?
So let's see. In general, coming up, with the label, I'm going to be releasing an EP myself. That'll be next, but that probably will be in April.
What's the label called for people that don't know about what your label is?
It's called Circulate.
Love that name.
And okay, we got to get this label engine thing figured out though, because I think you have to go back. You're gonna have to go back and find that invitation. I can't resend it to you.
Oh, what?
If you want the promos.
Yeah, I was gonna say you haven't sent me anything, motherfucker. Label. So it's on Label Engine.
Yeah, okay. It's okay. I'll send you. I'll like text you about it. But yeah, and then just had a release from an Italian duo called Amethysts. Cool. And they released the first album that we've done on the label, and it was really great. Lots of good feedback. They're super talented. I think they're just going to keep getting bigger. And let's see, myself, I have a stream coming out next week. When is this released?
This comes out next week. Comes out Tuesday. Tuesday.
Okay. So this Friday, then I'm doing a stream with Obscure Music. Oh, cool. And then
doing streams?
I think it depends.
Yeah.
On what it's for. I do jump on Twitch once in a while, and like we have like a nice little community over there, and so I do like connecting with them. I probably don't do that as regularly as I should, but at the same time, like now that the pandemic is over, I feel like I'm not home as much, so yeah, it can be a challenge. But did you jump on the Twitch thing at all when you were
I didn't do a single live stream during COVID.
Ah, you're one of those. Yeah. Very mysterious.
I started a
podcast. Was there like, do you just don't like the vibe?
Yeah, it's just not for me personally. Like, I love playing record. If I was to do a live stream in my house, it wouldn't be playing house or techno. It would be playing like funk and soul and stuff like that, because I'm just like,
that sounds so fun though. Like, you should do, yeah, that,
because like, no,
people would watch it.
Yeah, I'm like, nobody wants to listen to like me play house and techno.
I get that,
but that's just my personal. I also didn't have decks in my house in the UK. So I was like, nah, just not.
Were you over there like for majority of the pandemic?
All of it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, 18 months, I think. Longest I've been there for ages.
How did it feel? Was it like kind of nice, or did you feel like
ups and downs?
You want to get out of there?
No, ups and downs. I loved where I live. Is like in the middle of nowhere. It's like no neighbors. My neighbors is my parents, so I live next door to my parents. So like, I was lucky that I got to like see them throughout the whole of the pandemic. I cooked for them every single night. Like, there's not many people that got to see their parents or got to see their family that often, so I was super lucky with that. I was also like, live in the country, so I could just go out running every day and could kind of just do all of the things that I haven't got to do over the last like 6 years of touring. So it was really nice. Don't get me wrong, there was some shit times during it, but genuinely it was better than most. What about you?
So where was I? I was in San Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, it was, I don't know. Yeah. Ups and downs, I guess. Right. Do you like, so you mentioned you cook, is your food page, is that all stuff that you've cooked?
Majority of it is. Yeah.
Wow. That's so, like, very impressive.
Some of it isn't. Some of it is. It just depends. But yeah, that's another thing that I did in the pandemic that no one knows about yet. But I filmed like 12 or 11 episodes of like a TV show of like me cooking.
Dude, you gotta like release this content.
I know, it's coming, like it's definitely coming out this year.
Will it be on your YouTube?
I'm probably gonna start a whole new YouTube for it. Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Is this like it. Will Clark meets Anthony Bourdain vibes, or
it's Will? I don't know. I can't compare myself to any of those cats, really, can I? Let's be honest. It's just me cooking, just me teaching people to cook, or just having a laugh and showing people a few dishes that I like cooking. But I want to do it as like a regular thing. It's just, again, it's just finding the time and making the time for it. Whereas during the lockdown, I had loads of time. And it's gonna be weird watching it back because I definitely had really long hair because the barbers weren't open at the time, so yeah, I definitely look different.
You're not willing to do the like at home buzz cut?
Well, I don't know why I didn't do this, because I was like going bald for years, which is why I always wear a hat. And for years I was like super self-conscious with my hair. And then my barber, I always go to the same barber in the UK, and he was like, can I just shave it off already? Like, for years. And I was like, no. And then literally the first time I had a haircut out of lockdown, I was like, mate, just shave it all off. So I could have just done that myself, but I don't know why I waited.
It's a process.
Yeah.
It's a process. You got to like commit to that.
Yeah,
I get that.
I had to work my way up to it, but now I'm fully bald and I love it. It's the best feeling ever. So,
and then you've got the beard going on. It's perfect.
The beard makes up for it, right?
Exactly. Gotta have balance.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Did you do anything during lockdown that were like that that like changed your life as of such?
I adopted a rabbit.
Oh wow.
And that has certainly changed my life. He's amazing, but he's also a handful. So like what happened was, this was probably in July of 2020, I was on Craigslist and looking at in the free furniture section, and I see this picture of like a little girl holding a rabbit in her arms, and it says like free rabbit. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. So I clicked on it and they explained the situation. And so I went to go look at him the next morning, like not really planning on bringing him home, and I brought him home.
Amazing.
So yeah, he's amazing though. And I've like learned so much about rabbits because of it. And yeah, they're sweet little creatures. A lot of work, but sweet.
What's your rabbit's name?
His name is Rupert.
Great.
Yeah. The little girl before had named him Teddy, and he does kind of look like a teddy bear, but I was like, he needs something like a little more distinguished.
Yeah.
So we went with Rupert.
Rupert. Yeah. I like pets' names that are like human names. Something about it,
right?
One of my family friends has a dog called Nigel. It's the best name ever.
Are they English?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I love that too. I think it works so well with animals.
I know, it's a little sausage dog, and I'm like, this is just amazing. Shout out Nigel. Yeah, but no. Going back to what you're doing for the rest of the year, have you got anything planned that you're excited about, or like, are you just kind of taking it and seeing where the year takes you?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a few gigs, like the ones with you, and then I'm playing Hyperspace Festival with like Josh Wink and some other good talent, and that's up in Apple Valley in April. Everything is still feels like it's moving around a lot, so I'm trying not to like get my hopes up too much. But other than that, just like working on music, finishing EP, and yeah, kind of just taking it like one week at a time.
That's cool. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
We've just done a fucking hour and 15 minutes. I don't know where the time's just flown by.
Yeah, it went by so
fast.
It's
mad. Thanks for coming on. How can people follow you, listen to your music, listen to the label, all of that good stuff?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. This was fun.
No worries.
And yeah, they can find labelcirculaterecords.com. And then I finally made a website for myself, and it's leek.digital. So they can find all my links there.
Nice.
And yeah.
Amazing. Thanks so much for coming on. I'll see you in March, I guess.
February, if Toronto happens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know that's not going to happen, don't we? Come on.
Really? Okay, well, I asked Ryan and he's like anything's possible. And I'm like, okay. But well, we'll see.
I really hope it happens because I love that club. Have you played there before?
I haven't.
It's fun. No. It's good fun. And I love Toronto. It's a fucking great city. But I'm not being negative, but I just don't. Canada's like North Korea right now. It's on full on lockdown. Just like, it's
good
terrible.
Good to know.
Yeah.
We'll cross our fingers.
Let's hope. But if, it will get postponed and we can work it out. So if I don't see you in February, I'll see you very soon. Hopefully. Keep safe.
Sounds good. Yeah, likewise, Will. Thank you.
Thanks, mate. Take care. See you soon.
Bye.
And that is a wrap. Big love to everybody that listened. Don't forget to subscribe. Hit the like button. Give us some reviews. Don't forget to get tickets for the New Generation Tour. Keep safe. See you next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.